You're listening to a series of reflections by Kathy, Zach, Veronica, Rosie, and Gerda, recorded on Sunday, July 19th, 2026, at Point Grey Interminnonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
We're going to be singing from Voices Together 113, O Sing to the Lord, in Portuguese, which I don't speak. Cante, O Senhor. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that very well or not. It was originally written in Portuguese and is set to a Brazilian traditional folk tune of unknown authorship. It was later translated into Spanish, English, and I believe also other languages. It apparently gained international recognition in the 1980s through the World Council of Churches and also through arrangements by people such as Scottish liturgical composer, preacher, and teacher John Bell, who many of you know. So why did I choose this song? It speaks of singing a new song. Singing to the Lord, singing a new song. Quite simply, I'm actually quite drawn both to the positivity of the lyrics, as well as the joyful waltz-like, yet somewhat haunting tune that culminates in some very Mennonite-approved harmony. It's based on Psalm 98. We are called to sing a new song. I've had the experience, mostly a privilege, sometime challenge, of living and working, studying in very many places around the world. Starting as a young child, my father was a pastor, and that took us to a number of different places. And I always had to learn to sing a new song, to find new ways of doing things. And that's kind of part of what resonates here. As much as we might treasure old and familiar songs and messages, and as much as we also want to honor and find meaning in songs that reflect theologies of suffering and despair, this particular song invites us to praise, sing, dance, and shout in celebration of God's marvelous wonders. Without expanding further theologically, I'd just like to say that I gravitate to looking for joy and beauty amidst the harsher realities in life, as well as reflecting that there are always new wonders in God's world to discover, new songs to sing, even for those who have the privilege of living in one place for a long period of time. So if you haven't thought of the song as a waltz before, I'd like to invite us now to sing it in that way, accentuating the first beat of each measure as we sing.
As a child, I attended Peace Mennonite Church in Richmond, where we would sing a mixture of hymns from the Blue Hymnal and contemporary songs from the screen. I don't remember particularly preferring one mode over the other. While there were some good hymns, I think I found many of them a little stuffy or boring. And though the contemporary songs could be slow and repetitive sometimes, at least they had exciting instruments to my mind. My taste for church music only really developed when I started attending a small Lutheran community congregation at Laurier University while I was going to school in Waterloo. As the only pianist attending, I was quickly roped into doing the music every week. And I enjoyed the freedom to select whatever hymns I wanted from the Lutheran hymnal. Many of these were more contemporary hymns or had roots in world music. I continued to enjoy them, but I didn't select any of those for today. At the same time, around the same time, while I was in Waterloo or a little before, we had started to have Kipfer family reunions more regularly, just about every year. And the extended Kipfer family loves to sing. We would have long hymn sings requesting numbers from the hymnal, like we do at PGMF's Easter potlucks. Wonderful Grace of Jesus was always a standout. I don't remember ever singing it growing up, certainly not at Peace Mennonite. To me, it's a very much an Ontario Mennonite hymn. But it's such a joy to sing or to accompany on the piano, as I often have. Since then, after coming back to Vancouver, my immediate family have kept up the tradition. Most of the times when my brothers and I visit my parents for Sunday night dinners, we take out the hymn books, and number 170, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, will almost always be requested. Tonight, my grandma Kipfer is in town, and my parents are bringing her to our house. My brothers and I share. I expect this hymn will be sung again. I'm usually on the piano, but I try to sing along as well. I confess, as a practicing agnostic, the words don't often speak to me particularly strongly. It's more the music and the memories of family and community that those are what led me to choose this hymn this morning. But it's good for me to remind myself that higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, there is all sufficient grace for even me. So I'm going to go to the piano and play along once more here.
I grew up in a congregation where everything was spoken and sung in German until my teens. So I would not have sung the words to the hymn I picked, 31, Come We That Love the Lord. I would not have sung these words in our voices together. This hymn is certainly part of my core memories of being in a church service. I think I like it because it is happy and rhythmic. Not stodgy or serious. Not only does it have four-part harmony, but the verse and the chorus has the lower voices providing a steady beat and a call to the upper voices to join the pilgrimage. It makes me think of the Psalms of Ascent that form the la the there's like 15 core Psalms in the Bible near the end of Psalms, songs that the Jewish people would sing as they approached Jerusalem for their festivities like Passover. One can imagine that singing this hymn would provide the rhythm and motivation when needed to climb those hills leading up to Zion. What's interesting to me, however, is that this hymn in my youth was a funeral hymn. And actually, Evan's choice of Hebrews tells me why. I mean, it enforces why. In the German songbook, it is found under the heading Tod und Ewigkeit, death and eternity. Whereas in our voices together and in the blue hymnal, it's found under gathering and worship, welcome section. In my early church years, if somebody from the congregation died, the following Sunday there would be an announcement from the pulpit offering words of condolence. And an invitation for all to sing a hymn of comfort for the family. And no heads up to the pianist who didn't sight read with accompanying congregations very easily. So, under pressure. This hymn was definitely part of the repertoire of hymns regularly sung on these occasions. Now, I thought my instruction was to read the words of the hymn. My co-presenters haven't. So I'll just read. One verse in German. Stimmt an mit vollem Klang und preiset Gottes Sohn. Wir scharen uns mit Jubelsang, wir scharen uns mit Jubelsang, unseren Vaters Thron und unser Vaters Thron. Wir pilgern nach Zion, herrliches, liebliches Zion. Ja, heimwärts geht es nach Zion, der herrliches. Herrlichen, lieblichen Stadt. Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of my father's passing. Would you please sing this hymn for me and my family in his memory now?
I grew up in a church that sang from a hymnal but did not sing in four-part harmony. And we had an adult choir that would sing harmony, but the general congregation did not. And I decided at some point to teach myself how to sing harmony. I was taking piano lessons and I knew about reading music, so I just started singing the alto part. I realized my voice was lower than the soprano, so I taught myself how to sing alto with nobody else around me helping me. And that's how I grew to love four-part harmony hymn singing. And that's part of how I chose this church, because I felt that it gave me the kind of singing that I loved. My life flows on. Why I chose this hymn. During the COVID lockdown, when we couldn't meet to sing together, this song was going through my head on repeat. And I often have music, almost always have music going through my head, and it's very often hymns. And I had a friend once who said to me, she attended my church down in Seattle, who said, "Hymns are my prayer language." And that has remained with me, and it really is. When anything needs to come to my mind, it's often in the text of a hymn. And so knowing a lot of hymns has been a fruitful way for God to speak to me through my mind. And this hymn in particular speaks of how Christ brings peace to our souls through hymns, the familiar texts and melodies coming unbidden to our minds in times of trouble. So it was very appropriate for COVID anyway. And the how can I keep from singing? I want to sing anyway, even though we can't, I was always thinking of that during those months. The words have been variously credited to Robert Lowry, the tune writer, or Anna Bartlett Warner, who was a very prolific hymn writer of Jesus Loves Me, or anonymous. But the first known appearance of the text was in the New York Observer in 1868, the year before the tune was published with the text, under the title Always Rejoicing, attributed to a mysterious Pauline T. And we don't know who that was. Despite extensive historical research, her identity has never been discovered. But I think maybe it was a pseudonym for Anna Bartlett Warner, who was known to have written many hymns, and who, with her sister, and who published it the year after, no, some years later in a magazine. I deleted some stuff in here because I thought it was too long, because I thought we had to read the whole hymn. So I was like, there's things that would have been good. But yeah, so Anna Bartlett Warner did publish this hymn a few years later, and she wouldn't have taken credit for it as her own if she hadn't written it. So Pauline T. might have been a pseudonym of hers. Don't know. Anyway, the tune was written by a Baptist minister, Robert Lowry, and published in his Bright Jewels for the Sunday School in 1869. His three other most famous hymns, which he wrote both the text and the tune for, are Christ Arose, which we sing very often at Easter, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, and Shall We Gather at the River. He also wrote the tune for We're Marching to Zion, which was the hymn that Veronica chose. So, and another thing I deleted, unfortunately, was a quote by Lowry in a book by F.H. Hall, who wrote biographies of hymn writers. And it said something like, Dr. Lowry said once that he would rather preach an evangelical sermon than write a hymn. But look at the matter of the survival of all the hymns he did write. That's kind of telling. The writer of the quote said that. So anyway, my life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I catch the sweet, though far off hymn that hails a new creation. And I just wanted to point attention to a couple of lines in here. I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. That's the element of you're just sitting there and a song comes to your mind, a hymn comes to your mind. And then the last line of the next verse, songs in the night he giveth. Again, when darkness or night or hard times come on you, sometimes these songs just come to our minds. And then one other little note is that the original words that were written by Pauline or whoever it was in the third line of the refrain, it said it was originally, "Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth." And it's been "Since love is Lord of heaven and earth" for many, many years. And we're going to sing it as written in the hymnal. And I like actually that God is love, so why not call him love with a capital L? So let's just go ahead and sing it.
Unlike some of our speakers today, when I was asked for a favorite hymn, I didn't run through lists. It sprang instantly into my brain. The song that I learned as "How Great Thou Art." I learned that song in grade 3 in public school here in Vancouver. Times have changed. And as I was thinking about it, I realized it was the first hymn I ever learned in English, because our churches were still completely German at the time. I still love that hymn. The dramatic words, the melody that I have known by heart since childhood, has a special place in my heart. And I realize too that I have a strong feeling of connection to the idea of God as creator. It's what drew me to science. And I have had people tell me over the years that this is a contradiction. Science and faith are in conflict. But their arguments have never convinced me. For me, science has always opened my eyes to see the wonder of creation and the Creator. One of my favorite things years back when I was teaching first year biology was the really boring first lab where they had to learn how to use a microscope. One of the things we brought in was pond scum. And they would reluctantly take a little bit of it, smear it on a slide, put it under their microscope and go, oh, because the alga nostoc is made up of long chains of perfect round beads, the color of jade. So something that they thought was yucky was suddenly so amazing and beautiful. And that's the thing about creation and the ability to see more things and to learn more things. There is so much to see and to learn about the glories of creation, and it all points to our God, who is indeed great. So the sheer joy of this song made my heart sing in grade 3, and it still does.